Welcome back to The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick with you today. You know, we cover nations under strife all the time on this show. Syria, Nigeria, Yemen. And a lot of times we talk about how people can respond to an oppressive government. There are protests. There's violence, of course. Those are some of the more common vehicles for dissent and anger. But how about music?
I'm moving to Brussels. I'm moving to Spain. To Harlem, it's all the same.
For singer-songrider B. Beeman, the answer took the form of his compositions. Beeman is Sri Lankan-American, and he's been making music since 2008. He decided this year to write a sort of Dear John letter to his former dictator in Sri Lanka. The song is called Moving to Brussels. It appears on his new album, Rhythm and Reason, that'll be out in May. He shot a video for the track with Keegan-Michael Key, that's the guy from Key and Peele, and he's touring nationally now. B joins me here in the studio. Welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you so much for having me.
So your Dear John letter in Moving to Brussels, who's it to?
Well, it's a little bit about the Sri Lankan former president, but it's also a universal thing. I come from an immigrant family, and I sort of identify with immigrants. I'm in a lot of cabs a lot, and I chat them up. I like to talk about their families and their histories and stuff like that. But I just thought it was a great opportunity to sort of take a love song, like a breakup love song, kind of spin it in this way that millions of people actually experience of having to leave their homes and their families and their loved ones and everything they knew and leave sight unseen to a new land.
So what you're speaking to in a very calm and sort of beautiful way in these songs, though, is upheaval, political strife, relocation. How does such a beautiful song, in a way, such a calm song, help channel what must be a lot of frustration for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely frustration. I'm privileged to be living in America, and my family brought us to a great place in St. Louis where I grew up. People's stories like that resonate with me, and I have a lot of family members who still live in Sri Lanka. It's just something I like to address something in each of my songs, and I'm not trying to be overly political necessarily or change anybody's minds, but it's something in my heart that I feel needs to be said.
Politicians never see the brown boys starving like Malcolm X and Martin King and Marcus Garvey. Yeah. In 65 there was a climate for the riots, and it's 89 and I'm seeing deja vu again.
My parents came from Sri Lanka, formerly Ceylon, through San Jose, California, and then they finally landed in St. Louis, and I was born there in St. Louis. In certain ways, I was one of only a handful, seemingly, of South Asian people or Asian people in St. Louis in the 80s. That sort of alien living on the inside from the outside sort of viewpoint definitely is all over my music, and it's something I bring to the table that I'm not sure is seen too much in this Americana blues country, whatever you want to call what I'm doing, world. So
it sounds a little bit to me like, in Moving to Brussels, you're sort of channeling your parents' experience a little bit, their movements from Sri Lanka to the United States. You came afterward. You haven't really experienced that yourself, but you've talked to them quite a bit, to your other relatives too, I'm sure.
That was just part of my upbringing. But it wasn't always about Sri Lanka either. It's just what's going on in the world. It was never just about my city or my state or my country necessarily. It was about the whole world, and we kind of share it with everybody. So
the president of Sri Lanka, Maithripala Sirisena, has said that he's going to dissolve the parliament, call new elections later on this summer. It seems like a real moment there.
Yeah, it's definitely a new day. People are sort of maybe holding their breath, waiting to see what actually transpires. But what you hear from him is definitely promising. It seems like a different attitude, a more conciliatory attitude than was ever there before.
Speaking of conciliation, there are also indications that there may be a sort of Truth and Reconciliation Commission coming around on the heels of the civil war there.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very dark, depending on what side you're on, but there's a lot of documentation about how dark that the ending of that war was. You know, I don't know. I don't know how much dwelling on the past really fixes anything, but, I mean, if human atrocities were committed, I mean, somebody needs to be reckoned with, I guess.
If anything, it might provide a lot more inspiration for more art, that's for sure.
That's what I'm hoping out of all of this.
I have to ask, and I'm sorry if this kind of question bugs you, but what do you think about MIA?
She stood up for Tamils in Sri Lanka in 2009 very strongly. She was on Tavis Smiley. I saw her. And nobody else was talking about it, and I loved that she was talking about it. And she gave a voice to people that Americans maybe don't see very often. But musically, she's just a whole other bag. I'm not into electronic music particularly, but I respect her for sure.
B. Beeman, do you have favorite protest songs, political artists that you've listened to?
I was talking to somebody about this, and Phil Oakes' name came up.
Oh, yeah.
But I actually don't really love Phil Oakes. I think he is talking about politics, but not covering it with enough honey. There's not a great melody. The songs aren't particularly memorable. So I don't love protest songs just for the sake of protesting. People will buy what you're selling if you just give it a little bit of sugar on top. My main concern with writing a song is making sure the melody is nice, the instrumentation is nice, and then so kind of through the back door getting my message through. Mm. And so I have a ton of songs that didn't quite make it because of that.
Yeah, well, we call it in the business a little bit of dessert before your vegetables. The vegetables are important.
Right.
What do you see going on in America right now in your eyes that needs the most attention, maybe with the dessert out in front of it, but something that requires more serious attention from your listeners?
Well, there's quite a bit of topics going. I would say Latino people are very marginalized in this country, and it's a sad thing, I think. They're treated as, by quite a good portion of this country, as somewhat subhuman, and I don't think that's fair at all. I think they're a beautiful people just like anybody else, and they deserve respect and they deserve dignity, and which was what was amazing when the director of Birdman made that shout out at the end of the Oscars. I thought that was a beautiful thing that's not being addressed. And, you know, in Hollywood, you watch the Oscars all night, and I'm sure there's a lot of Latinos in the bowels of the auditorium, but they don't show their faces. But there's a hostility towards them, and I don't understand it, quite frankly. I think it's xenophobia, but they were probably here first, so I don't think xenophobia is the right word. We're heading up the Northeast, and then we'll head across the Rust Belt and through the Midwest, and then finally over to California.
You can catch B. Beman on tour this spring and summer across America. His new album, Rhythm and Reason, will be out in May. I assume that's available on iTunes and Amazon, right?
Correct, yes.
And some vinyl?
Yeah, I'll be releasing it on vinyl.
Which means you can definitely get it in your local independent record store. B. Beman, thanks a lot for coming in.
My pleasure. Thanks.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.